So we're glad that we have Church at Home also on Facebook with 280 different participants, which means their friends can come on Facebook and watch a Church at Home episode. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you post one every week there, correct? Okay, that's good. Now, about a year and a half ago, I started Restoring Original Christianity for Today. And Randy worked up something on the later ones. You've seen it. Welcome to Church at Home. This is Fred Calder. We're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And then it comes up, Original Christianity for Today. And Randy has taken that work, comes up, Restoring Original Christianity for Today, and has put it on all of the Church at Home segments. We have almost 300 of those now. And in addition, we did an ad that we have on BibleStudy.org where we have Original Christianity for Today click through. And they go to BibleStudy.org and click through, and they come to a landing page on Church at Home. And then I explain about Restoring Original Christianity for Today. Okay? Now, I need to do some other follow-ups to go with that. You know, what was it originally? See, what are we restoring to? What are we looking to? So that will be something we'll be looking forward to do here pretty quick. Now, I just want to give you a thumbnail sketch on what is happening with our websites. Now, cbcg.org, Church at Home, CBCG Video, and CBCG Spanish. Combined, we had in October 79,000 distinct visitors. Now, that means we had an average of 2,500 visitors a day, average pages viewed 15,587. That's with the articles that we have and the transcripts. Average bytes transferred per day, 21.87 gigabytes every day. Okay? Average pages viewed per visit, 6. A little over 6. Average bytes per visit, 8.75 megabytes. Average length of time for visit, 7 minutes, 12 seconds. And so for a website, that's a long time. Now, combined from January 2012 to October, the end of October, we had 631,160 distinct visits. See, now, that's different from impressions. Impressions runs like this. You have a page with all these different ads on it. Okay? When that page comes up, that's an impression. A distinct visitor is when they click on it, like to Restoring Original Christianity for Today or Church at Home or CBCG, and actually go there. So we're certainly doing an awful lot with this, and it's going to increase even more in the future. Now, also working on another project, you remember years ago I read the whole New Testament. Well, we thought, well, we'll send it down to Randy, and Randy can let us know how we can put this together. Well, I recorded it on a Sony cassette recorder, had it transferred over to digital in a computer, and that's what Randy got, and he said, sorry, can't use it. However, because of that, we figured out a really good system, and the way we figured it out was this. For the last few times I've been coming down, I stop at Randy's, and we go over things at his house with Church at Home and the other things that we're doing. So we did the special reading on Proverbs. And he had a special microphone set up that was in a special soundproofing semicircle, and I would get up right close to the microphone like this, and I would read the Proverbs. So he was sitting there. When I made a mistake, he'd say, "Correction." So then I would read the verse again. Now, why don't you try that at home? Have someone listen to you read and see how easy it is, especially if you're a longtime member, and especially if you've got a lot of the King James memorized in your brain. You can get the wrong word in there, see. So I've begun to reread it. We have done all the Psalms. And what happened was, Randy came up to Hollister. He brought a microphone. He brought the sound shield, set up a table where I have it right there, and I've been reading. And I've been having Bonnie, who does the editing on the from the chips that we have, take it in. She edits them. And she sits over behind me, and when I make a mistake, she says, "Correction." And I reread the verse. And so this has made it possible to make really good headway in reading the New Testament. We finished all the book of Proverbs, all the book of Psalms, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and 10 chapters in Acts already. Now, all of those have to be edited, and Randy can't edit them, so he's going to come up and train my son Stephen on how to do the editing, but he showed me how he edits it. He can get a picture on his screen, and he can, you know, when you see the digital voice pattern, okay, he can magnify it so he can pick out the smallest thing and get rid of it, like a s. He can go and edit and take that out. Or if I make a mistake he thinks he can correct, he'll go forward to another place and copy it from there and go back and replace it in the area where I made a mistake. And he can take a little space of the digital pattern that you see computer screen. This is of the audio. And then he can blow it up to where it's about this size, and he can just edit it really nice. So that's how it comes out sounding good. So when you get it, you can thank Randy for having the knowledge, having the technology, helping us with it, getting the right microphone. And so we hope to have the whole New Testament done by the middle of January. However, that doesn't mean that it's going to be ready for distribution. Now, we don't quite know yet how to do it, but Randy suggested that we get, what's that, a memory stick? Flash drive. Get a flash drive. See, I'm Fred Flintstone in technology. Get a flash drive and have the whole Bible on it. And what we would like to do is set up a single package on restoring the original Bible, where a person can order the Bible, get the PDF version on a CD, get a smartphone, iPad, iPod program that they can have, put it all on one set price, so they get everything all at once. And so that's what we're looking to do with this. And we hope that it will help a lot of people. I have, a very interesting letter here, if I can get it. I had it. Anyway, I don't have it. Let me look. Maybe here. That's why you need computers, because you have so many things, you can't handle all of it. Well, I can tell you about it, okay? 13-year-old boy named Demetrius wrote and wrote me a letter and told me that every morning he sits down with his grandmother and he watches Church at Home, and he listens to it, and he's very thankful for it. And we hope that with the things that we're going to be doing in the future, that we can really begin reaching a lot of younger people, because, you know, all the rest of us are gray-haired. And I remember one comment by a young person some time ago. This is when I was traveling back in the Midwest, because all of us have had, you know, our church backgrounds and everything for quite a while. Matter of fact, my first time to Pasadena was 52 years ago. So the comment was, well, you only have old people in the church. So I've had that in the back of my mind for quite a while. I'm praying about it, that God would intervene and begin calling some younger people. But we have to do our part. We have to produce the things that will reach them, see? And we need to produce the things that are going to help them. One thing that we have is the Proverbs reading. And that was because of Gilivaldo, Elizondo. I've learned how to pronounce his name correctly. And his whole family grew up. And his father, in the church, every day they would read a chapter of Proverbs. Go through the whole month. If it was less than 30 days, then they doubled up on some of the shorter Proverbs. But there are 31 Proverbs, so that covers 4 or 5 of the months anyway. And they did this continually in a cycle year after year. And what it did, it programmed the minds of his family and the children growing up to know right and wrong, good and evil, righteousness versus wickedness. And this is what is needed. That's why the book of Proverbs is not heavy on theology. It is meant to help young people program their minds correctly so that they can think. And we hope that this will help a lot of young people, because today they're not taught that. They're not taught how to think. Everything is fun and games and emotion and all the things that they have in their lives generally lead to very, how should we say, bad behavior at the least, rebellion and rejection of truth at the worst, and brings them into environments of drugs and sex and music and things like this that grab hold of the mind and destroy it. So appreciate your prayers and anything you have that we can help put together some good programs for the youth. Now, one other thing we have with that, which is this. Years ago, with this very thing in mind, because of that comment of the young person, well, you only have old people here, you know, I reserved the domain names Youth Ministries for Christ. So we have it on net.org and com. All those names reserved. So we need to have some things so we can reach out to young people. We need to have things to show them why they need to avoid the music that they're used to, why rebellion comes up in them to go against their parents and go against society, why they are not taught the things that they need to learn in school, and help them with understanding the Word of God. Help them so that they can look to God instead of looking to the government schools and the government programs and things like that. One thing for sure, homeschoolers are the ones who are the first hired, because they learn how to do things on their own. And most graduating from colleges, they've never had a job. They don't know how to work. Very few have been taught how to think. So here comes a homeschooler. Now you can go homeschool kindergarten to PhD online. They get hired because they have to study, they have to learn, they have to memorize, they have to be able to think. And it's been kind of embarrassing because a couple of times the homeschoolers won the spelling bees. See? So we do have ads that we put on homeschoolers here in homeschooler websites here in the U.S. and also in Canada. All right. Now, let's talk about money, financing, okay? Today, there is virtually no money. What is real money? Okay? Real money is actually gold and silver. That's real money. Today, we have something different. Today, we have digital funds. Have you ever wondered what on earth is going to happen with debt in America and Europe and around the world, and why the banks have gotten us into this situation? Because they have. All the debt that Obama has run through the last 3 years, guess how they got the money for that? The Federal Reserve bought those debt securities. Because what happens is the Congress authorizes so much money to be put into circulation. And if you've never studied about the Federal Reserve, just get the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. But let me tell you who runs the banking system in the world. There are 8 families that run all the banking system in the entire world. And that banking system is based upon debt. You want some money? I'll give you some money, but sign this note, an IOU. So if you look at any denominational bill, if you have one in your pocket, okay, I've got a $1 bill, now they're threatening to do away with it and give you coins. Okay, but if you will take one out and read it, it says right on the front, right below the United States of America, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. Now, before the Depression of 1929, they had gold-backed currency. And you would get a $20 bill and it would say, this is redeemable for $20 worth of gold. All right? That was a legitimate paper currency. Now, it's just a debit. Isn't it interesting? If you've overdrawn your checking account, they don't send you a notice that you have run out of money. They send you a notice of what? Insufficient funds. Because your checking account, though it's accepted as legal tender, and it is accepted as money, is a substitute for money. So these 8 families control all the central banks in the world. They have a plan, and the plan is going to lead to the mark of the beast. Now, go online and look up single global currency. About 10 years ago, I got a book about world currency. Now, there would be many things that would be of benefit with a world currency. There would be no balance of payments between nations. But who is going to control it? Okay? Now, remember this. It's going to be those 8 families which involve United States, England, Switzerland, European banking, also Chinese banking, And the IMF, the World Bank, and the BIS, the Bank of International Settlements. They are now setting it up so that the Bank of International Settlements and the World Bank and the IMF will have SDRs. Now, what are SDRs? You ever heard of SDRs, anybody here? That is special drawing rights. In other words, a line of credit. See, the way that you control the nations and the banking system is to get everybody in debt. Do we have debt? Does Europe have debt? Does Asia have debt? Does Africa have debt? It's not a coincidence. It is planned. And their plan is, by 2024 or sooner, they are going to have a single global currency. How many have read the book, The Day the Dollar Crashes? Haven't read it? Ooh, that's something. The moral of that story is, when you get a notice from your bank that says insufficient funds, you have a personal dilemma. When a bank sends out notice, we've run out of money, everybody's in trouble. See? So they have a proposal here. And remember this. The system of this world is controlled by Satan the devil, and he works by incrementalism. A little here, a little there. Get everybody used to it. Bring in another generation. And that's what we saw with this election. All of the parents who immigrated here, who worked hard, who developed their lives, had children, had families, the majority of their children voted for liberalism. And that was the tipping point in the election. Same way with education. How did they get God out of the schools? Well, first of all, they had the Scopes trials in the 1920s or 30s, whatever it was. Then they had a challenge about prayer in school. Then they had a challenge about the Bible in school. Then they had a challenge about teaching Bible classes in a public school. And since the incrementalism said, we're secular, not Christian, and we can't discriminate against other religions, therefore, you can't pray in school, you can't pray before a football game or baseball game, you cannot pray for a friend in school, you can't bring a Bible to school. So now what do we have? We have a youth that knows nothing of God, only secularism, revamped history that they have been taught, where now they are teaching that, you know, the Boston Tea Party was an act of terrorism. And what do we have it now? Incrementalism beginning with sex education. I remember when that started to come in the mid-1960s. And now, look what has happened to the whole society because of it. Has it been benefited or cursed? It's been cursed. Now, we are teaching children a social education with emotional responses without the capacity to really have critical thinking. And now you give them goodies, you give them all kinds of opportunities, you take care of them on the government grants, and you take over a nation. Now, monetary-wise, this is what they have done with all the currencies in the world. So I've got a single global currency, SGC, proposed goal. Okay. The schedule is proposed to add realism to the idea that the goal of a single global currency is achievable by the year 2024. I think it's going to be much sooner than that. If we have the fiscal cliff coming in 30 days, and it happens, we are going to be in deep, immediate financial trouble. That could affect Europe because everything is sitting on a teeter-totter, and everything is right at that tipping point. So if there is no action by our Congress here, no action by Europe, that's going to be the tipping point to collapse all currencies, and I think they will bring in a world currency quite quickly. But here's what they've done. 2011, January 1, Estonia will adopt the euro and will become the 17th member of the European Monetary Union. 2011, the Gulf Cooperation Council launched their new currency. You ever heard of that? Gulf Cooperation Council? I wrote a letter on that back in, what was that? I think about 7 years ago, 2004. Okay. Remember the letter I wrote about Turkey? Turkey's going to come to the fore. Guess what they're doing with Syria? See, because Turkey used to be the Ottoman Empire before the end of World War I. Don't you think they want it back? Yes, indeed. All right. West African Monetary Union, five nations, Ghana, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Gambia, five nation Eastern African Community implements monetary union with members. 2012, International Conference for the Establishment of a Global Monetary Union. And then you have different ones joining the Eurozone, and it goes right down the list to a single currency to be used for electronic transactions, that is, around the world, in 2021. So this is quite a report here and how it's going to come about, but where will it lead to? Now, how many here have Wave Technology credit cards? Do you have that? At the checkout stand, all you have to do is just take it out. You don't have to swipe it anymore. You just wave it. Now you can have it on your smartphone, has all your banking information on it, and you can use your smartphone. Be careful if you lose it. Okay. And what I told you about earlier with Kenya doing their transactions through their cell phones and smartphones. And once you get everybody used to that, now what's going to be a major problem that they're going to have with this? Theft. That's right. So I've got four articles on the central banking system here. Okay? How do you solve the problem? RFID tracking. That's how you solve it. Here's an article. Use of RFID tracking technology to be mandatory for U.S. food stamp program. Whoa, we just put $15 million this year on it? And advertising in Mexico telling the Mexicans, come on up, and here's how you get on the food stamp program. Okay. Now, how many have heard of the digital angel or the chip? Well, here shows a picture of it right in the hand. Only in this case, it's in the left hand, not the right hand. Okay. Once you have that, you don't need a card. You don't need a cell phone. All you have to do is just... So there's going to be lopping off of right hands, I suppose. I don't know what those thieves will do to try and get things. See, now... Think of this. Let's come to Revelation 13, because we're going to talk about the coming world government and the mark of the beast. Now, just think. When the only money they had was coin money, put yourself back in the days when the Apostle John was given this vision, and you read verse 16. Revelation 13 and verse 16. And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hands and in their foreheads. Okay? Now, who are the all? Then it says with it, verse 17, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name. Now put yourself back in the beginning of the second century, say 210 A.D., right after the book of Revelation came out, and you heard this read in church, and you would think, what is this talking about? How can that be? Well, you can't understand these things until you come to the last days. All right? These things are only understood in the light of the events that are taking place today. Now, let's read about this beast system here in chapter 13. Now, and I want you to think what has happened in the nations here recently. Chapter 13 and verse 1. I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. This is a satanic system. Now, when you read this, it goes back to Daniel. But here is the key with the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. Daniel gives the foundation of it. Book of Revelation gives the finishing of it. You can understand a lot of things out of the book of Daniel, but you can't understand the things that many things at the end time from the book of Daniel. They're just references to it. So the book of Revelation then connects with the book of Daniel. That's why we have the series, Daniel Revelation series, about 20 Bible studies in it. And the description that is given of this beast is one that goes back to the description of Babylon, Greece, Persia, and the Roman Empire. Now, this system comes up in the end time. And this system is a combination of all of the past empires. So that's why it's given the description that we will read here. Verse 2, and the beast that I saw was like a leopard, and his feet like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. Now hold your place right here, and let's read in Luke, the 4th chapter. Let's see what Satan told Jesus. Now, there are a lot of people who don't believe in the devil. There are a lot of people who do not believe that he has deceived the world. However, the Bible tells us he has. But notice what he says here. Verse 5 of Luke 4. Then the devil led him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this authority and the glory of them all, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I desire. Now that's why you're not going to solve the problems of the nations without the return of Christ. But notice what he said, because this gives us a clue. Therefore, if you will worship me in my presence, all things shall be yours. So this tells us, all of the superpower elite, the great rich and wealthy people of the world follow Satan, the devil. Now, they don't think so. They themselves are deceived, except the very few right at the very tip top. So Jesus told him to get behind me. All right, come back here to Revelation 13. So Satan has the whole world now deceived, like a great net around the world. And one part of that net is the great financial system that is coming. Okay? So let's read where this thing is going to go. Verse 3, Revelation 13. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, slain to death, but his deadly wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed. Now, what I want you to pay attention to in the book of Revelation is this. Whenever it mentions the whole world, whenever it mentions all nations and kindreds and languages and tongues, it means precisely that. This is not symbolic language in the sense that it does not apply literally. There is some symbolism in it. But when we understand and interpret it correctly, as the rest of the Bible shows us, that we will understand what's going on. All right? And the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. Now, how many of here have heard of world government, world governance? Okay. If you're online, look it up online. It's there. Look up what the UN wants to do, but the UN has to be reformed and changed. See, whenever the system breaks down, Satan changes it. And many times he develops a system so it will break down so he can change it. And that's what's going to happen. Okay? Now notice, verse 4, and they worship the dragon, just exactly like Satan challenged Jesus to do. Worship me. Okay? Stop and think. How many people in the world really worship the true God? And how do you know who they are? Well, since we're right here in Revelation, we have one verse. Come over here, chapter 14 and verse 12. Revelation 14 and verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are the ones who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus combined together. Now that ties in with the sermon that Mike gave this morning. How many people really are worshiping the true God? All right? You go through it all. Protestants, they have the name of Jesus, but they keep all the occult holidays. Catholics, they use the name of Jesus and ignore the whole Bible. Okay? The Buddhist, they believe in love and compassion, and like the Dalai Lama, this always comes up in my mind when I talk about Buddhism. Someone was doing a special on him, and he had this little fat Buddha there on his desk, and he told the reporter doing the video biography of him, he says, "You see that there? That's my boss." Okay. Hinduism? No. Animism? No. Demonism? No. Okay. A little technical glitch in the congregation here. Okay. Now, come back here to chapter 13 and verse 4. See, this is why, as we read earlier this morning, Jesus warned, let no one deceive you by any means. It's like a con man. How many have watched American Greed? Watch it sometime. That's something. They have a lot of truth. They have a lot of things that are blatant lies, but look gloriously true until they run out of money. See? Verse 4. They worship the dragon who gave his authority to the beast. All right? And saying, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who has the power to make war against him? So that's one thing to watch for. A world government where war, nation against nation, temporarily will not be possible. And one of the things you need to control that there will be no war is that you control the money supply so they can't buy arms. See? Think about it. Think about all these things coming together. Think about what I said this morning concerning Jerusalem and the Middle East. Verse 5, and a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue 42 months, that is, after his deadly wound was healed. Now notice what he does. This is a man of great sin, one of great power. Satan's finale, his great coup de grace. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. Now notice, verse 7, and power was given And he was given power to make war against the saints, to overcome them, and he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. A world government. And it is coming. If you have a world currency come first, then won't that be a whole lot easier for a world government to come second? Yes, indeed. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him. So all, see, you read what it says there. This is going to be all-encompassing. Have the people of the world been prepared for that? What do they do with rock stars? What do they do with movie stars? They flock after them, right? But if someone stands on a street corner and says, Jesus says, repent, the end of the world is coming. Oh, look at that, not over there. See? Now, some people have asked me, is Obama the beast? Well, I've been saying no. But I thought he would lose the election, too. So how's that for a batting average, see? Okay. I don't know. He's young. He's going to be out of office in 4 years. You think that his lust for power is going to cease? No. So don't anybody say I said he's the beast, because I didn't. Now, notice what verse 8 says, because this becomes very important. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Now, that narrows it right down, doesn't it, huh? Yes, indeed. This is why we need to understand the Word of God is true. That's why we need to understand the Holy Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit of truth. See, that's why we need to understand the true Christianity and being under the grace of God is that you have direct connection between you and God the Father and Jesus Christ. When we get together as a congregation, we are God's people in congregation. But our lives, we're scattered. And that's why prayer and study every day, so we learn, so we know, so we grow. Because God has called all of us to be prepared to take over the world. Think of that. That's why all nations are going to hate us. That's why the beast is going to come after and there's going to be a big martyrdom that'll take place. Okay? So Jesus gives the warning here, verse 9, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. All right, let's go ahead and take a short break.